is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. And per Jenna's information and conversation from last week, I know we were going to hit you guys with like some crazy straight, this crazy strange January. But, you know, Jenna would say, you know, I think we need to switch up this week because, you know, things are a little blah and we need just a little bit of a change up as far as tone, a little bit of a lighter films for you guys, you know, to counter the BS that's happening.
Right. And so every couple years or every year or so, the Brits come out with a nice little movie to brighten things along. And we discovered Fisherman's Friends. I believe it's on Netflix.
Yep.
And it is the true story of 10 fishermen from Cornwall. You know, are signed by Universal Records and achieve a top 10 hit with their debut album of Sea Shanties. And Netflix kept recommending this movie to me. And for some reason on TikTok, Sea Shanties have also seemed to taken off. So it felt like it was the universe telling us that this was the lighthearted fare that we needed in our lives.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. And to Jenna's point, there's, you know, a lot of, you know, those nice feel good movies that were kind of like, you know, like Full Monty and what's the other one that came out from the UK that was a hit.
I would say Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any Hugh Grant, pretty much. You're pretty much in the clear if you watch a Hugh Grant movie. That's always light and, you know, airy,
yeah,
if you will. Now this particular film, U.S. audience, not a lot of actors, like well known actors that we would recognize, or at least I would recognize.
I mean, I recognized the main fisherman, James Purefoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really recognize anything else. James Purefoy was in the TV show The Following. He played the cult leader.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then he was also in Rome. He played Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Dipped his toe in U.S. programming, I guess. Yeah, they get everyone.
He was also in Altered Carbon, but I don't remember him from that.
Interesting. Yeah, and the lady, her name is here.
Maggie Steed.
Yeah. Now I remember her recently. She was in the Mank, the David Fincher film that's on Netflix right now. When I was looking, I'm like, she's in something. She's in something recent. Like, I don't know what it is.
She was in the Transformers movie.
Yeah, but she, okay, I give her Mank because that's a little bit more of a respectable film. So I say she's in Mank.
I mean, for parents out there, they might recognize her from Paddington 2.
Okay.
That's not something I don't believe you've watched. I've definitely not watched it.
No, I have not watched Paddington 1 or 2.
Yeah, she was in Midsummer Murders, a BBC show, and EastEnders, another BBC show.
Okay, so she's a BBC alum.
Yeah, I bet. I haven't gotten too far in her resume, but she was in Doctor Who. Yes. Uh-huh.
Which doctor?
That works for the BBC has been on a Doctor Who episode.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
She was the Sixth Doctor Adventures. She played Madame Rania Zandusha.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, no, she's great. I like her. I really like that Mank. She definitely held her own on camera, you know, opposite all these other like powerhouse actors. Yeah, she's really great. I mean, I hope she get a lot more American roles because, yeah, she's delightful.
Yeah. So for folks that don't know what a sea shanty is, it is a type of work song that was once commonly sung to accompany labor or onboard large merchant sailing vessels. So the term shanty most accurately refers to a specific style of work song belonging to this historical repertoire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah, kind of like American, you know, those American songs. And you know, well, it's basically back in the day, like the railroad songs. And if you go back even further, you know, the old like slavery songs. Yeah, still kind of like same principle of, you know, yeah, these group of people trying to get through the day of hard labor with song and harmony until the work's over, until the work is done.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to whistle while you work type of.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the dwarves, you know, doing their thing. They would, you know, have their song going on. yeah, so this movie opened up with the group, the fishermen friends. I mean, they're not a group. They're just a group of friends that work together, you know.
And sing together, yeah. Right. So. Yes.
They didn't have aspirations of like, oh, one day we're going to, you know, have superstardom. They were just, you know, average Joes kind of doing their thing.
Right. And so, yeah, the movie opens up with the 10 guys. They basically like once a week at sunset meet down at the port, the beach, and sing for the town. And then everyone goes to the pub. So it opens up with us meeting all of the singers, and then we meet some London folks that are overnighting it in Cornwall before they go on a vacation. And their trip gets canceled, and they play the three of the guys play a practical joke on one of the guys. So he gets stranded, like they're there, they see the guy singing. We find out that the four guys work in the music industry. They look for talent and sign talent. And three of the dudes are a bit of a douchebag, and the boss of this one guy, Danny, who's played by Daniel Mays. Mm-hmm. And they tell him that he's not allowed to leave town until he signs the band.
Yeah. And so he's hell bent on, you know, discovering, you know, Van, but he hears, you know, the fisherman's friends and like, oh my God, this is it. Let me rewind it back. One of the friends that's in the record, you know, that works for the record label, you know, he was like kind of egging on Dan. He's like, oh my God, this is it. This is it. I mean, it's the workman sound. You need to work. You need to sign him. You know, even like he was chuckling like, ah, whatever. And so Danny convinced the fisherman's friends, who have zero interest in like making records. You know, they believe in Danny. They like him. Like, you know what? Okay, whatever. Like, if you think we can get a record, what the hell? Let's do it. And Danny go back to his friends in the record industry, and his friends is like, wait, I was just joking with you. Like, no, they're not getting a record deal. Are you crazy? Like, we're not gonna do it. We were just kind of effing with you. So that leaves Danny in a lurch because he promised the fisherman's friends that they were gonna get a record deal, or at least gonna cut a record. So this propels Danny, you know, to really fight tooth and nails and try to use his limited resources to get the fisherman's friends their first record deal.
Right. So while all of that is happening, you also have, because it is I feel like regardless of the UK movie, they always have to have a love interest going on. So there is a love interest happening between Danny and the main singer's daughters. So the main singer, played by James Purfoy, his name is Jim in the movie. His daughter is Alwyn. Mm. And so there's romance happening between Danny and Alwyn as they go about trying to record all the songs that the fishermen sing in the perfect location. Ultimately, they do find the church has perfect acoustics and record everything in there.
Yeah, so sound is getting good. You know, they're having fun. They're starting to get hip to the idea of having a record. So the Fisherman's friends are like having a kick out of it, and they're starting to loosen up and starting to enjoy the ride, so to speak, of the journey towards getting a record deal. Which leads us to like the second half of the movie, which have the Fisherman's friends come to London to
as part of like getting a record deal. It's not just like you have an agent who discovers you, you put together a record, and then you have to get a record company to actually sign you and help you market your record. And so now they're in London and they're going to all the different music houses trying to get someone to buy the contract and market it. And so Danny, when he gave a middle finger to his old company, he was like, well, I promised that I was going to do this for them. I'm going to stay true to my word and get them released, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to be at least in the top 100. This is going to be a popular, well-selling record. And his old company is like, good luck with that. But he does get someone, like a competing company, to sign. And everyone's like, you've just destroyed your own career.
Yeah, so they think.
Right before they released their record, it was the Queen's Jubilee, the Diamond Jubilee celebration in 2012, and they were selected to sing the Queen song,
yeah, Queen's anthem or something like that, or national anthem, or.
Right. But instead they sang a Cornwall song, which honored the good tradition of like the Cornwall people that fought against the Brits and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that sort of elevated them to who are these people? They exploded on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released their record, and their record started selling like wildfire.
Yeah. And then it ended up, well, at least when this movie ended, they found out it cracked the top 10 and it landed at number 9. So that was a big win for them. And they're well on their way. And I think they're still touring, I believe.
They're still touring. I know that they played a big music festival. Let's see. I'm looking. They played the Glastonbury Festival, Twickenham Stadium during England versus Australia, the halftime, the Cambridge Folk Festival, Sidmouth Folk Week, and a few other festivals. So yeah, they're still playing. They released their most recent record was released in 2018 called Soulmates.
Okay.
But yeah, they also continue to play in Port Isaac, where they raise money for charity, singing their traditional sea shanty songs.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I had no idea of fishermen's friends. I'm sure you had zero idea who they were.
Well, I didn't even realize that this was a real... I thought this was just a cute, you know, movie that the Brits had released. And then I went down my normal rabbit holes that I do while I'm watching movies and discovered it was a real group and all of these things really did happen. The end of the movie is dedicated to two of the, it's dedicated to, Trevor Grills, who was their tour manager, and Paul McMullen. Both of them actually died while the band was on tour in February of 2013. So the movie is dedicated to them.
Okay. Yeah.
But for the most part, it's still the original 10, 8 guys, 7 guys that were part of the band when it went live in 2010, or when they released their first record.
Oh, it was 7 of them. Okay, I thought it was more of them. Yeah.
I think there is more of them, but they're old guys, so they start dying.
Right. Yeah, so their very first debut album, it was 7 of them?
Right. I think their original record had 8 guys on
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. So they were one member shy of a Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah,
because Wu-Tang had 9. They're one shy. See, they could have been the UK Wu-Tang if they had one more, but it was fine.
Right, and the Fisherman's Friends have been credited with like starting the revival of interest in shanty style choral singing, which I think is what. So for some reason, my TikTok is really focused on it's like home improvement and Scottish people. And so I think all the Scottish people are doing the sea shanties.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm using TikTok wrong, but whatever. So what people are doing on TikTok is one person will start like record their part of a song and then people will add on to it. So it's all these different random people adding on to the sea shanties and harmonizing. It's actually quite brilliant.
Nice.
I'll find one and post it.
Yes. We'll have that. That'd be a supplemental piece for our upload.
Yeah.
Cool. So are we doing the same... rating today?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
Basically, sit on the sofa with your family. Put on your shoes or help your kids do school homework, virtual homework. Or go outside and fight the masses.
Exactly. This is definitely a sit down. It's like this is kind of like, you know, when you at a bar or you're at a restaurant, it's like the waiter kind of gives you like that ice water is kind of like the palate cleanser of the bar, give you water back. This is like the water back movie. It's kind of like it just cleansed the palate a little bit. It's light, it's airy, you know, it's a fun, you know, good spirited underdog story. And, you know, you fall in love with the characters and, you know, they're all of them are likable. It's one of those, like, you can really nitpick if you want, but at the end of the day, it achieved what it set out to do. You know, give an introduction to this group that you probably never knew about and the camaraderie and the brotherhood of this group. And yeah, and it all ties well into this, you know, cute underdog story of these people, of these, you know, fishermen that you end of the day just root for and hope they succeed. And they did because it's a true story.
Agreed. It is the perfect palate cleanser for what is going on in life right now. And I just, like, I know it's been really hard for me to focus all week on stuff, and I just needed something lighthearted and uplifting. And this was that perfect type of movie to watch.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, you know, and thank Genoa for blessing us with the idea for us to review this movie so we could pass it along to everyone out in podcast land, because I had no idea this movie existed, but hey, I'm glad I do.
It kind of went under the radar because I think it may have been released right at the beginning of the pandemic, and I don't feel like UK movies really ever get a whole lot of promotion here. I mean, we could only name a few of them.
Yeah.
That, Full Monty and Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like any of those movies that don't either star a big, you know, UK actor or directed by a Guy Ritchie or somebody, you know, it's like between those two, it's like you don't really know the movies, you know?
Yeah. So I'm happy that Netflix, I tend to just watch whatever is the next thing recommended to me when I'm feeling brain dead. And this was one of those movies that was just, you should watch this. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Like I said, you know, it's a good hearted film, you know, and you know, yeah. And when it goes off, it just leaves you with a smile. I was like, you know what? That was a fun movie. It was something I needed to watch to kind of get my mind off of the craziness.
Yeah, and it's PG-13, so it is safe for the entire family.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then that might send everyone down the rabbit hole of, you know, going into sea shanties. You know, who knows? Right.
We were talking prior to us starting to record that this may have between this and like indie music, that this has probably helped open the door for bands like Mumford and Son.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'll tell you, I was just waiting for Mumford and Son to kind of kick in one of the songs because it almost sounded like a Mumford and Son. But yeah, it's all good, guys. So there you have it, Fisherman's Friends. We suggest it. It's a good, good lighthearted family film since PG-13. You know, nothing vulgar. There's no F-bombs. It's all for the family. It's a good family film, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
This week we'll continue to do lighthearted fare, and then next week we will get back to our regular scheduled
craziness.
Yes.
Well, until Thursday, wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes, please. Peace.